So today, well, last night it started. I don't know what kind of company man this is, but if I had a boss who called me a fat slob or a fat ugly person, I would probably be personally offended. This gentleman has done this before, so it's not a big deal to me, but it does show that his texts, when you don't respond to him, he gets personally angry and takes cheap shots and calls names. You know, that doesn't bother me a bit. It's the text and the way he does it, because children call each other names, and he just uses a lot of foul language. And to me, if you're gonna hire somebody, you better be serious about it, because you're beginning to sound like an old broken record. And I'm not gonna read all of the text. He's called me an ugly, fat piece of bacon, which doesn't offend me. I mean, that's his opinion, and he can call me all the names he wants. But this is my peace of mind to this whole thing. First of all, I am forgiving to a point, and then I am also reminded of what I was told by him. And he said, in his own words, that I would not hire anybody associated with you and not to contact him ever again in text. So I'm kind of like laughing because he's getting mad at his own words being thrown back at him, and calling me names is his only way to defend himself. But he claims he owns a company. He claims that he's a fashionista here in Los Angeles. And, you know, I wouldn't doubt it, but calling me names and stuff like that, all you're going to do is make yourself look worse than what you already do. And I don't have to show the text. I just have to talk about it and the man who's doing it. See, I'm old-fashioned in a way. I don't let people's name-calling get to me. I used to. I mean, I really used to let them call me names get to me, and I would say something. But bullies don't deserve the time of day that they get. Bullies, you let them do what they want to do. Let them call you names. Let them do their own little thing. And sooner or later, they're going to realize, hey, it's not working because he's not responding. Well, I'm not going to respond, because by you going to a child level, the only way to deal with a child that is out of control, name calling, rude, and disrespectful to me is not to respond. If you want to have a conversation, then I'll respond. But in general, there is no response. I'm pretty sure that's clear enough right there. The ideas that I get and the things I hear all the time is so remarkable. I was reading the news article earlier today that talked about how pride has become a way of shaming people. And in a way, it has. I mean, the LGBTIA movement has become a complete body-shaming movement in a way, because if you're not looking one way, they call you names, and if you look too much like the other way, they call you names. And, you know, excuse me, but people are people, humans are humans, and calling somebody a name really doesn't serve a purpose. It might if it has a meaning, but to sit here and call me a piece of bacon? Excuse me? I have better things to do than to be called names over text. If you're going to text me names, then go ahead. Call me every name in the book. But just remember, you're the one calling me it. So that makes you look bad in a way. I don't respond to it. I just repeated what you said. I read what you said, and I'm just repeating what you said. Now, if you think I'm ugly, then why are you texting me? If you think I'm rude, why are you texting me? Obviously, it hasn't occurred to you yet that I have less things to do than sit here and take rude comments. That's why I stopped texting. Once you're rude, I don't want to talk to you. In essence, if you were going to hire me, or you were serious about giving me a job, you'd do it. You wouldn't be rude. You wouldn't be so disrespectful. And that's not very professional anyways. Now, my podcast, Peace of Mind, is where I come on and give you a piece of my mind. So here it is. In simple layman's terms, I don't want to work for somebody who can be rude 1 minute and nice the next, and call me names 1 minute and then say I'm a friend and I'm trying to help you out. Because that's not what that's not the way a friend acts. You have to be really, really out there to think that. And I'm not that far out there. And I know that people in certain positions should not be throwing nasty text messages at somebody they haven't met face to face. Second, my relationship, my personal relationship, has nothing to do with my professional one. I'm professional about my podcast. I love doing it. The reason I put the Martin Luther King speech in this podcast is to remind you that we have to do stuff together. We have to connect together. We have to be one with each other. And we have to understand that not everything's perfect. So, what do? How do we go to perfect? Well, it's simple. We start with listening. Not just to each other, but to the people around us. So I'm giving you guys an opportunity to speak. If you're being bullied, send a voicemail. If you're being bullied, call somebody. If you're being called nasty names and sent nasty pictures, block them, because you don't have time for that, I don't have time for that, and I ain't about to try and go into details of why you block them. Just block them, because you are just as empowering as anybody else, just as understanding as anybody else. If they really care, if somebody really cares to give you a job, they aren't going to call you names and they aren't going to tell you something that's untrue. And then when you find out the job's not real, it gives you a sense of question. You start to question everything somebody says when they do that. That's why I question this person. Because now that he's done it to me 3 times, I'm really starting to question his credibility as a man, as a business owner, and as a friend. Because you don't do that stuff. You come out and you talk about it. You come out and tell the other person what's going on. And you listen. And you exchange ideas for conversation. That's what makes a good business person. calling somebody a fat piece of bacon over text, sending nasty text messages just because of something that you said in the first place, fine. Send all the nasty text you want, but what you say does come back to you. And you said that you would not hire me or anybody associated with me. So your comment came back and bit you in the butt. And I really think that if you have a personality problem, then you need to listen to Martin Luther King. Because today's society, tomorrow's society, society in general, is not going to be the same. Because there is respect, there is love, and there's people out there who care. So, I do hope that you enjoy this podcast. I do hope that you listen to the music and listen to the Martin Luther King speech, and you enjoy your Saturday. Because this podcast and all my podcasts are open for sponsors and interviews. And I'm really happy to have all of you here and to be hearing all of you comment, share your feedback. That's what's important. So love and happiness to all and many blessings. I'm rattling the cage of this person because he's got a response for everything. I think his last message is funny. He says, "I hope your fat ass gets a heart attack so you cease to exist." Like, I'm really gonna be scared of that one. I probably do more walking than he does driving his fancy cars around LA. And I think if he wants to make comments, I'll be happy to oblige his comments. Actually, I'd be happy to meet him face to face in a one-on-one interview. And then let's see how much of a fashionista he is behind the mic. Because then he could say it all in front of everybody else. And it won't just be in text, it'll be word of mouth. See, that's how you have to handle these bullies. You have to make them want to come face to face with you, and you have to really tease them just enough to where when they do come to face with you, they're going to want to talk. That's his biggest mouth. That's the biggest thing he's got, is his texting power. Changing of his number, hiding his face. So if he ever gets found out, he's going to be surprised. But I do believe that bullying, any type of bullying, is against the law. So you just have to ignore it. And you just have to go on with your life. Because he can say 1,000 things in one day, and it's not going to matter. Because at the end of the day, I have something that he doesn't have. I have class. I have understanding. And I realize his comments are meant to offend me. But he's not offending me. See, that's the thing. He's not offending me. He's garnering attention. this man is garnering the attention of my podcast. This man has garnered my attention of Facebook. So he should be very proud because he's out there for everybody to see and nobody knows who he is. So he could be in his apartment, laying down, sleeping, acting the way he's calling me, eating his food, doing whatever he's doing, and he thinks he's gonna bug me. I got some bad news. This is like a breaking news right here. You've got mail. You better check yourself at the door, because I'm not going to give you any sort of response. And the funniest thing is this morning I finally did respond. And I said, thank you. You reminded me of a double cheeseburger with bacon. Because he called me a piece of bacon. So I figured I might as well make him feel good about it. You know? Go comment for comment. At least I was being nice. I said something that was foodie-wise. So he can say whatever he wants. He can comment however he wants. Matter of fact, he can come out and talk to me face to face. Because I'm not really too ashamed of how I am. If I was ashamed of how I am, I wouldn't be in this world, because God made us all in his own way. And apparently God made him in his own way too, because he's a bully. And he thinks he's going to garner the attention of people. So allow me to note this for future reference. Don't reply to bullies. That's the note I'm going to give you all. They just have an ego. It has to be fed. Let them feed it. And when they're done, you'll be better off because you did not respond. He can watch me on Facebook. He can listen to my blog. And I'm not going to give him any attention at all, because I'm not going to say his name. That's not the way it works with me. If somebody wants to get their name in the paper, let them get their name in the paper. Go right ahead. Go out and get your name in the paper. If you need that kind of attention, I'm sure that CNN, Fox News, ABC, all these major papers will turn around and gladly give you your name in the paper. So, thank you, and peace of mind's up next. Hello, everybody. Well, I'm not exactly going to go into details, but I wanted to read something to you. Gas prices. As most of you know, the gas prices are going up, 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 and they don't seem to be coming down at all. A year ago, average was $3.07. This is for regular gas. A month ago, average was $4.04. A week ago, average was $4.81. Yesterday, average gas price for regular gas was $4.98. Today, current average is $5 even. So, if you're driving around and you're looking for prices, you're going to find them. Average for mid-grade gasoline, this time last year, a year ago, was $3.41. $3.41 for mid-grade gasoline. For this time a month ago, it was $4.75. And for this time a week ago, it was $5.16. And then just yesterday, it was $5.35. And then you go up to today's average of $5.37. Then your premium gas. Prices go up. So you see the trend with these gas stations is the West Coast and East Coast feel the price. You go out like towards Los Angeles, you see the prices going up, up, up because they're having to stagnate because they're getting close to that $10 mark. So for summertime, the prices could hit $10. By August, it could be really $10. The record highest price for gasoline is $5. The record highest price for diesel is $5.76. All today. So if this is like a government fix that we've heard, this ain't a good fix, because gas prices are still outrageously high, and each state is having the same issues. In Alaska, gas is $5.58, Alabama $4.82, Arkansas $4.52, Arizona $5.31, California $6.43, Colorado $4.86, Connecticut almost $5, District of Columbia $5.24, Delaware $4.98, Florida $4.88, Georgia $4.46, Hawaii $5.52, Iowa $4.74. Get into Idaho, it's $5.09, Illinois $5.56, Indiana $5.22, Kansas $4.65, Kentucky $4.79, Louisiana $4.54, Massachusetts $5.04, Maryland $5.01, Maine $5.06, Michigan $5.22, Minnesota $4.75, Missouri $4.65, Mississippi $4.52, Montana $4.88, See, the prices are very high in some places, and still not even busting $4 in others. It's just ridiculous. And, you know, it is sad, because as gas prices go up, so does the cost of living. That's the thing. Which, you travel through America, and it's just ridiculous. The price should never get this out of control. And I can't blame angry Americans for their feelings, because you're seeing it happen. We're seeing what happens when parts of the country don't work together. And there is no relief. There's none. It's all talk. So the relief that we might have had isn't there. It's just a sad turn of events that has happened that is making things worse in America. As gas prices go up, so does the cost of living. And the cost of living goes up because the national inflation continues to rise with the price of gas. Just like homeless. As the homeless numbers go up, so does the cost of providing for these people. Low income. If they really cared, if the government really took it seriously and cared about the people, these things would not be happening. But they are, because the government does not have the means or a way to fix it. So you can blame inflation, you can blame gas prices, you can blame anything you want. But at the end of the day, it is the government of each state who needs to take responsibility and work at lowering the price of gas. I'm not going to blame people for their feelings. Record high gas prices. It's almost a shame, and it's sad to see it, but it is there. And in my opinion, the country's already taken the hit. The country's already taken a lot of hits, and as it goes, you know, people are going to start noticing, and the more the people notice, the more they're going to start complaining. And I'm just like laughing at it, because it doesn't matter what we do as we go along. The government doesn't care, honestly. So, however it makes you feel, the price at the pump is going up. That is the truth. If the price continues to go up, is what's going to be the question. Because it can go as high as $20 by the end of summer, end of September, at a current rate. And we'd just be feeling punch at the pump. Where does the cap come in to say, hey, these prices need to come down? Sorry, it's just that way, but if the prices go up, so does the cost of living, and the cost of living goes up because there's no one to put a dial tone on this problem. And it may be Russia, but at the same time, we can't blame the cost of living on Russia. We have to take responsibility for ourselves, too. So if you're, like, sitting there thinking, well, how come Russia doesn't pay the gas bill? Because it's the government's responsibility to step up and take care of these problems. I think I like the idea of what I heard today in a podcast. somebody said that if we were to raise $1 trillion and give it to the government, and we each put a little bit in each month, and we got up to $1 trillion and went to D.C. and handed it to them, it would be like paying off a part of the debt ceiling. And that would be the truth. You'd see a big decrease in the debt ceiling. The Treasury would get $1 trillion, and it would be just like paying it off. But we need to raise, as we pay it off, we need to raise more than $1 trillion. We need to get it up to like $20 trillion and then pay it off. Because pretty soon we're going to be at the $1 zillion mark. And that's a high price to pay for inflation. If the minimum wage is $17 an hour, and it's $6, let's say it's $6 and some cents for gas, at $17.25 an hour minus $6.43 for gas, you're virtually only making $10.82 per hour, because you're losing part of that and taxes to gas. You have to put gas in your car to get back and forth to work, so times 8 hours, you made $86.50. After taxes, you probably made like $43 and some odd cents. So the price of inflation is not matching up, you know? Even though you think it's okay, it's not. And the bigger the business gets, the harder it is to run. Because as the price goes up, so does the price of food. Let's see, $3.28 plus the 10 cent deposit. $3.28 plus 10 makes it $3.38 for a bottle of soda. Times, let's say you buy two bottles, that's $6.76. That's a $6.19 cost to you for just trying to buy something sweet to drink during the week. And then let's say you go out and pick up dinner. An average dinner is going to cost you about $6.99 if you go through a drive-thru, times 4, that's $27.96. Plus, what, $10, $12, $13 for gas? You just spent a whole $40 in gas and food to help feed your family because you didn't have time to cook. So let's go a little bit further. Let's go and spend $100. Plus, let's say you want to go out once in a while, so you save back $50. That's $150. Now, plus gas, let's say you save back another $100. That's for gas. But that doesn't really match up with prices, so let's just add $50 to it. You're already at $300. So there you go. You got your food expense, gas, and your entertainment expense of $50, which will be gone like that. That's the case everywhere. So let's see. Let's say your check is like $520. You only have $220 left after everything you've taken out. And that doesn't include emergency spending like a $300 medical bill or a $300 gas bill or electric bill. That doesn't include that at the end of the month. So let's times that by 4. That's $1,780 that you're spending in a month to get by. Now, I know that that may sound high, and that may even sound a little bit out there, but when you balance out the truth and you look at the numbers and you balance it against your current checkbook, it doesn't really balance out. Paying bills is an expensive proposition. And the bigger people, like the millionaires and the billionaires, don't feel that because they can pay their bills. They have the money to do that. They're not helping out the little people. No one's going to help out the little person because we're considered the low income. We're considered not very important. And the truth is, everybody's important. Everybody has to have a reason to survive. And you just gotta get through. And if some of these tycoon millionaires would help out, it would really make a difference. Like, let's say they decided to write checks. Just for an example, let's say they decided to write a check to every single American of $5,000. Do you realize how far that would take some of us? Do you realize how much out of debt we would be and how better off some of us would be? If some billionaire or billionaires, millionaires and billionaires, wrote a check for that price and sent it out to every single American, this country would be in a better spot. And it could be tax-free, or it could be taxable. But just remember, you're trying to help America. So I guess the whole goal is to look at it from this standpoint. If you write a check and a friend of yours who's a millionaire writes a check and then you keep it going, sooner or later the country's going to be back on its feet and the government's not going to know what to do because these people are back on their feet. They got the money they needed to get out of this hole. And they're all back up and running. Some who have dreams of starting a business would probably start their business. Some who have dreams of paying off debt would pay off debt. And they'd be back on their feet. In one step. Now, I know some of you are going to have your doubts. And you're going to be like, well, not all millionaires and billionaires want to write checks to America. But, you know, that's the interesting part about that. They'll write checks to charities, give charities hundreds of thousands of dollars, but they don't want to dig down in their pocket and give back to the people who've gone to see their movies or worked in their restaurants or stuff like that. They're afraid that if they do that, they'll be left with no workers. But if you actually picked up and wrote a check for $5,000 or $10,000 to every single American, and you said, here's to help you out, a goodwill move, it might change the outlook of America and change the problem that's happening in America. See, I know for a fact that people need help. They need the kind of help that only rich can provide. People with money can help. Now, it's not like I'm saying, hand me a check for $10,000. No. I'm saying, if we really wanted to help America, it would be worth doing. Like writing a check for a family of four, a $20,000 check. That would give them a lot of hope. That would bring them out of the hole a little bit. That would help pay off at least one thing that they've wanted to get rid of for a long time. And that would be a great uplift to America. Now, I know it sounds like socialism or capitalism, but that's what it is. You're giving money to help bring the economy back from what I would call a depression. So giving the money back isn't that bad. If you're able to help all of America and you're able to provide a check and say, hey, this is for you, get yourself back on your feet, here you go, that's a great opportunity right there. It's not like you're saying no, but it's also not like you're just giving away money, because it's going to go right back into your pocket anyways. At the time when you write the check and you give it to somebody, you're helping them from that point. Now, it's not like they're asking for $100,000. I could understand you having a little bit of an issue with that. I'm just saying, a little bit extra is not going to hurt you. If you're a millionaire, you could stand to help out America. Let's say if you make over $50 billion, you could stand to help out America a little bit. Each millionaire should, like, help out America a little bit, and they should give to the people. If you know if you're wanting to help in some way, then give to the people. If you walked up to me and said, how could I help you? I'd look at you and say, the best way to help is to help my friends and me, because we could really use it. I know some people who could really use some help, and I'm one of them, so is others. And I just think that would be a very nice way to say, here, get yourself out of a hole. But at the same time, you know, getting out of that hole means that you're going to be better off in the future, and you're going to have to pay it forward. So down the line, let's say we do that. Let's say this happens and you pay it forward. Well, paying it forward means you do something good for the community you're in. Owning a business is a way to give back to the community. This podcast is a way to give back to the community, because I encourage small business to be a part of it. If they want a spot to advertise, they've got it, because my podcast is getting longer. And this is a two-parter. This is part two of part one, because I was talking about gas prices. So you're giving back to the community, but at the same time, you're helping the people who go into your stores and patronize your stores by buying your products, by buying the groceries, by buying the services that you provide to the communities in which you provide them. Like Winco, Walmart, Target, all these stores, those owners, they're millionaires. They got the money to do that stuff. They run a multi-billion dollar company. They should be able to help out with America in the communities that they provide to. If you're able to open a store, run a business, open another store, run another business, and continue that down the line, you're able to provide something of a stimulus to the people of that community. The people who patronize your store all the time, the people who come in and buy your groceries, buy your food, Taco Bell, 7-Eleven, Walmart, Grocery Outlet, all these places, Winco, all these places in these cities should be able to help by giving some financial assistance and not asking for it back in the long run. That's the thing. When you're giving, you can't ask for it back. You can't say, well, this is a temporary thing. You're going to have to give it back in so many years or so many months, because you're making a profit, whether you believe it or not. Because the people that you're helping are the same people that go into these mini markets, these fast food chains, these little convenience stores and stuff, and help to provide you with an income to support your family, like Target, like Grocery Outlet, like Winco, like Walmart. Those are all the things that you're providing as a service, and they're buying your service. Like movie theaters. Whoever owns the largest movie theater company is making money. Whoever owns the largest satellite company is making money because they're buying your service. So what's it going to hurt for you to give a little bit back to the community? Take $1 million and hand it out to people. Give them a little bit to help them get on their feet. You know, $5,000 isn't really that much. It might seem like a lot, but it isn't to a millionaire who loses that much in just repetitive stocks and bonds. I'm talking common sense ways of helping the communities in which I've been in, like Oregon, the Eugene Mission, my mom and dad, my aunt and uncle, my friends, my relationship. It'd be a great way to help. Because I figure if I'm helping and you're helping and we're helping each other, we're making a better community. We're doing a better service than anybody could ever do outside of the government. I don't think the government wants to give away anything. They just want to have it so they can spend it. So what am I proposing? A solution. What is the government offering? Nothing. They're not offering solutions. I'm offering a solution. It's a real easy solution. You take the top 1% of America, the millionaires and the billionaires, the top 1% of America who have the high income, who have the finances to support a good living, and you ask them, can you go to heaven with cash? No. But at the same time, can you help out the small, the people who are low income? And the answer is yes, because they have it to do that. We're helping them by buying their merchandise. We're helping them by going to their stores. We're helping them by patronizing their stores with our money. The state is helping them with food stamps to pay for the groceries we buy. And maybe it's about time we start looking at these businesses and going, what about us? How can you help us a little bit? You know, it's not like you're giving something. It's like you're asking. Because seriously, all I'm doing is asking. All I'm doing is saying that, you know, for the time that you've been open, for the things that you do for the community, how about doing one more thing for the community? How about opening up your checkbook and writing a check for $5,000 or $10,000 or whatever you want to help people out? Low income. I'm not saying give 100,000 people money that's got a good income and have a house and able to pay their bills. I'm saying people who are really on a low income. People who are like on having to struggle to get by month to month. Give them something to look forward to. And it's just like a little step in the right direction, you know? It's like saying, hey, here's an opportunity. We're going to give you some money to help you out, to get your bills paid, to get caught up. And you take it, you do what you have to do. You pay your bills, you get yourself back on track, and then down the road you do it again, you're back on track. Hell, you just made a good investment because now they're going to go to your store and say that this company helped me out because they knew I was low income, so they helped me pay off some of my debts, now I'm back up flush, and now I'm not going to do that anymore because I don't want to have that debt. But it's really up to you guys. It's up to people who want to do it. So, you give me your opinions. Tell me what you think of that idea. To me, it sounds like a worthwhile investment. It doesn't sound like you're going to lose anything. If anything, you're going to gain customers. And they're going to be out of debt, so they're going to spend money in your stores. It's a perfect opportunity. This is Peace of Mind, Part 2, by Brandon Vaughn. I hope you enjoyed. See you next time, and have a wonderful Saturday.
The bump.